afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and of course this show is A Progressive Life, and here we're going to pick up our professor, progressive professor. Hard to get that alliteration out there. I'm sorry about that. Dr. Feynman, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Well, other than my mouth not working right now, I'm doing fine, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to start off by correcting a couple of things. I was listening in the last hour.
Yes.
First of all, the person you and Scott could not think of is Eugene McCarthy.
Yes, that's exactly.
And I was thinking of perfect timing between Joseph McCarthy and Kevin McCarthy comes Eugene McCarthy, the only one of the group that one can admire. The other two are disgraceful.
That's interesting. That was who we were trying to think of, yeah.
And secondly, Ohio has six presidents, not five.
Yes, and I...
Reyes, Hayes, Garfield, McKinley, Taft, and Harding.
It's not
all between 1869 and 1923, and I heard it was five, just trying to correct the record on that.
No, and we were leading in that, we were in second place with that, with Virginia, I believe, right? Doesn't Virginia have seven or eight?
Yes, Virginia has more.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the Ohio presidents are Republicans. Never had an Ohio Democrat.
Is that right? I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, and only John Glenn was really trying in 1984, but he didn't get the nomination. But nobody else really has come anywhere near it, you know, and it's always been Republicans, you know.
Times have changed. The Republicans of today are completely different than the Republicans of even 10, 20 years ago, let alone back in the 1800s.
Yes, the Republican Party has lost its way, and it's become a fascist party, I'm sorry to say, as I see it.
Okay, let's shoot it right off the bat. The very first thing I got on my questions here, I saw that Liz Cheney was removed.
But the thing that bothered me is they had a voice vote. They didn't do a vote by counting like the first time when they said it was 141 to 61, I think, that's in favor of her, or 145 to 61. Okay. Why didn't they require a count, even if they don't give the names, where they actually not have a voice vote? A voice vote sounds like a Nazi party conference where everybody just puts his hand up in favor of Hitler. Well, I don't think that's the right way to count a vote.
I did not see it. Did you get to see what the count was, or did they not get
it? There was no count. It was a voice vote.
Okay.
It was simply people yelling, yay, you know. So, it sounds like fascism, really. There should have been a vote count. I was really curious how many people would have voted for her. I'm sure it wasn't just 10, the 10 who voted, you know, to convict or to impeach Donald Trump. But the point is they didn't do that. They just had a voice vote. Well, a few months ago, they actually had a vote count without giving who gave, you know, who was voting on each side.
I thought they were going to do a unanimous or a... anonymous vote, which would mean that they would put their choice on a piece of paper and turn that
in.
Yeah,
but they didn't do that because I saw they didn't do that. I read that. I was shocked. I figured there would be a vote and maybe she would lose, but this way, a voice vote, there's really no indication how many people were supportive of Liz Cheney.
Well, does this not say where the... understand my... adversaries, I do not see any reason why they should have done this. She was standing up for honesty.
Yes.
I think I agree with you that there were very few things that I would agree with her
politically. Oh, no, I don't like her viewpoints, but...
Right.
But she's at least a patriot and a person who believes in the Constitution and rule of law, and I'm sure her father, who I'm not a fan of either, is very proud of her.
Well, now, what is going to... I don't know.
Well, supposedly tomorrow, a group of, I think, 100 or more former Republicans or rebel Republicans are going to announce, including their names, that they are forming a party or a group to oppose the Republican Party and maybe be a challenge to the Republican Party. And I think that is a good thing because I think the Republican Party now, most of them, at least two-thirds of them, the ones who were involved in the insurrection or approved of the Troubles at the time and did not vote to endorse the Joe Biden that won, I think they should all be removed from the party. I'm 39 House and 8 Senators.
Well,
should not be members, should not be in Congress. But, of course, that's just a wish. It's not going to happen.
You and I don't have any choice in that matter.
No, but as they pointed out, if it had been, let's say, African Americans and Latinos rioting, do you think the Republicans would not go after the Democrats for the rest of time and say, look what happens? But they're trying to deny it even happened.
Well, there is no systemic racism in this country.
Oh, of course not. Believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, the old saying.
Yeah, and it's still standing up, though.
Yes,
the Democratic or the Republican Party is not standing up.
Yes, right, if you want me to, I can read what I wrote on Facebook today.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, today is the day, it is before the vote. You know, I didn't know the vote yet. It was about 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
Today is the day that the Republican Party demonstrates it is not conservative, is not a believer in democracy, the rule of law, and the Constitution. Today is the day that the nation is further put in crisis by a cult that worships a liar, misogynist, racist, nativist, white supremacist, and a bully. It wishes to deny anyone who is a person of principle from having a role in the future of a party that was created in 1854 on the principle of opposing the expansion of slavery and promoting the end of slavery in America. It was a reform-oriented party, but that has been totally wiped out by people who have no common decency, ethics, or morals, and wishes to deny democracy. It is a party that has gone from Joseph McCarthy to Kevin McCarthy, with Newt Gingrich, Pat Buchanan, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and so many others over the years who have undermined the basic principles of American democracy. The Republican Party has become the party of fascism and must be opposed in every way possible.
Well, and that's kind of scary in that, well, first of all, you and I agree totally on what you said, but now, what is the definition of fascism?
Well, actually, I wrote it on my blog the other day. I took it from someone else, actually. I'm not saying I was original.
I
say the following characteristics make it clear that Trump and his party represent fascism: powerful and continuing nationalism, disdain for human rights, identification of enemies as a unifying cause, supremacy of the military, rampant sexism, controlled mass media, obsession with national security, religion and government intertwined, which really worries me a lot. A lot of these people are religious who think that somehow he's their god. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate power protected, labor power suppressed, disdain for intellectuals and the arts, obsession with crime and punishment, rampant cronyism and corruption, fraudulent elections.
Now, who do you have who said it that way?
Lawrence W. Britt came up with this listing at Free Inquiry website on secularhumanism.org in 2003.
And that's quote is on your...
It's on my entry of yesterday, yes.
Of yesterday, okay. And
yes.
I missed yesterday,
so
I'm
going to... Look at the blog, you'll see for May 10th. Well, actually, it's Monday. Today's Wednesday. May 10th, Monday, 2 days ago. Under Donald Trump and the Republican Party are a clear and present danger to America's future. That's
I'm
my
going
idea.
To have to
May
go
10th,
on there
yeah.
And cut and paste that into a page so I can remember that. Because so many people don't, first of all, they don't know what anything is about politically. When I talk to people about socialism, they think I'm completely nuts when I say, well, Jesus Christ was basically a socialist, and that, oh my goodness, how can you say that? Well, was he not the one trying to help the poor people, trying to, do the things for the downtrodden? Of course he was. And then they say, well, you're atheist, so what do you know?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is that I would say to those people, do you want to give up Social Security?
Yeah.
Want to give up, Medicare? Do you want to give up public education? Do you want to give up even labor rights? Well, maybe some of them don't care. If they're wealthy, they don't care about labor rights.
I guess.
But they don't care about that. They don't care about anything that affects most people, just themselves. Too many people just focus, I think, these days on how they are doing and to hell with everybody else. And that's not the way people can live a life. You can't live just for yourself. You have to be concerned about others, is my view. I just sent you that article to your Facebook Messenger page, okay?
Yeah. Now, also,
you will have it there.
We need to dig up our roads if we're going to do away with socialism, too.
It's not going to happen. And, the thing is, people think socialism is communism of the Russian, the old Soviet Union, China.
It's
totally different. It's ridiculous. And also, I got to point out, Karl Marx, whatever you think of him, what he talked about, what he called communism, was not what came about in in Soviet Union,
that's
China,
right.
Cuba, or Venezuela. Yeah. So he himself would not have approved. It was a distortion of his ideas.
Actually, the true communism probably would be fairly close to what Jesus believed we should do.
Yes.
You know, anyway... we haven't seen true communism. We've seen Cuba and we've seen Russia and, you know.
Well, I find interesting people condemn that, and they should, like Cuba or Venezuela or yeah. China or the old Soviet Union. They don't condemn as much Mussolini or Hitler. They really don't. You know, they'll claim they do, but they really don't see Trump as being a fascist, that he's very much in a similar vein as a Mussolini or Juan Perón in Argentina or Franco in Spain. Very similar.
And look what happened to those guys.
Yes.
Anyway,
ignorance is not bliss.
No, it is not bliss. And now I'm trying to remember the name of the I think he's a senator. No, he's a congressman from Illinois that was really
Adam Kinzinger. Yes.
Wow. Oh, where did he he may be a new up and comer.
Well, I tell you, he's very definitely speaking out against Kevin McCarthy for Lynn Cheney.
Right.
And this whole group of 10 of them, he's the most noted. But I think he's young, and I think he has, I don't know what, because, you know, he's not going to probably become a senator from Illinois. It's,
right.
It's a state that's Democratic in that regard. But he might also lose his seat. But, you know, people can lose their seat, and they still could decide to run for president. I think him or Cheney could run and muddy up the waters for Donald Trump and the Republican Party.
I can't imagine that Cheney's not going to keep talking. I mean, just because
she will, no question about it. I mean, you know, and again, I don't like her views. I don't even necessarily like Adam Kinzinger's views, but I admire their courage and their independence.
Yeah. Now, that's something that we should learn to admire again. Courage and being able... and being able to say what you truly believe. Now, if you can't say what you truly believe because your fearless leader says no, then you don't have much courage.
And the thing is, it's a big lie about what happens with the election and also trying to deny January 6th, and this is a real threat to our democracy. It cannot be allowed to stand.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that is skeptical that it was all planned out by Trump, the January 6th, but I think it came about because of his rhetoric.
Yes, no, I agree. I don't think it was all planned, but I think he incited people by his rhetoric and by his constant denial, which continues today.
Yeah.
He's still claiming, you know, that he lost the election by fraud when it has not been so. The Arizona vote count is a joke,
yes.
You know, for the umpteenth time. And, I mean, the fact is that that even the Supreme Court rejected it and many other federal judges did. There were 60 or more cases. I mean, it's time to give up and be a good loser, but he doesn't know how to do that. And that worries me because in the future, the Republicans can claim any time they lose that it's a fraud.
Well, I used to have a football coach that said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. So, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well, every other losing candidate accepted defeat, including Hillary Clinton, in a very dignified way.
Yeah.
That they keep on attacking her like she's an evil witch. I don't understand it. I really don't.
And I don't think you're a good loser just because you understand that you were defeated. You can be a bad loser in your heart, but be gracious and be...
Yes.
You know,
as Richard Nixon was in 1960 and Al Gore in 2000.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not sure we're going to ever beat this dead horse to death, but because I think Liz Cheney may actually, and the gentleman from...
Adam Kinzinger, yeah.
Yeah, I think they may have a thing going here. They may have the genesis. They may have a touch of the new Republican Party, which would be wonderful to see. Not that I'd vote for him.
Yeah, I agree. They're both young enough. See, Mitt Romney, some people think, could maybe run again, but he would be in his late 70s. Now, I know Joe Biden is, but I'm not sure that's the real future. And I think since he lost in 12, it probably would, although he's a better-known name still, but I think, you know, it could be a Cheney-Kinzinger ticket, in theory, or someone else. You know, there are other people. There are others, that, you know, including a couple from Ohio. I don't have the names in front of me, but a couple of Ohio Congress people, Republican Party, did vote to impeach Trump.
Right.
They're just not getting the attention.
Yeah.
You know, but there are a couple of them. So, and I mean, you got to give them credit, those 10 House members and 7 senators who spoke up and did the right thing.
Yeah. Now, I don't. Yeah, and there are, I think, at least one Republican from Ohio that might be two that voted to impeach. But I don't know. I've lost my belief in Ohio as far as getting past this. I think one of our biggest problems is going to be the gerrymandering is going to continue to go on, because I don't think we're going to be honest about that here in the state of Ohio. We're supposed to be. And
Ohio, I think, has really been going downhill politically the way in this Josh Mandel that's running for the Senate seat. You know, he may not get the nomination. He's horrible. There's so many different reports about how horrible a person he really is. You
well,
know?
We get to listen to him occasionally here in Ohio, and I struggle to think. I struggle to understand the Republican brain. I don't understand how Republicans, first of all, will suck up to Trump. I don't understand how they refuse to believe true what truly happened. Of course, I guess what they say is, well, those Democrats aren't believing what truly happened. Well, I think
I looked up Anthony Gonzalez of the 16th District is the Republican.
It was
in the National Football League.
Yes.
And, you know, he voted to impeach. He can't convict in the House to vote to impeach Trump. Yes.
Yeah, it was Gonzalez.
He's one of the 10, but he's not hearing much about him. Just like in Michigan, there were two Republicans, Fred Upton, who I've heard of quite a bit, and Peter Mayer, I guess, M-E-I-J-E-R, the third district and the sixth district. So, and we also have in California David Valadao, California 21st, John Katko of New York's 24th, and Jamie Herrera Butler of Washington State, third district, and of course Kinzinger, who's the 16th district, and in Washington State Dan Newhouse, 4th district, these old people, and Tom Rice of South Carolina, 7th district, all voted to impeach him, yeah.
A South Carolinian decided to impeach him, huh?
Tom Rice, 7th congressional district, yes.
He's a brave person.
And he comes from a pro-Trump district, 59-40 for Trump.
That doesn't surprise me. I've been to South Carolina.
Oh my God. And now they want to have the firing squad as an alternative execution.
Yes,
I think that's monstrous. That's horrible.
Now,
we had a recent case of someone who was executed, I forgot which state, and they discovered 4 years later the DNA wasn't his. He was executed when he shouldn't have been.
Now,
just in the news. Unbelievable.
Isn't that, aren't you given the choice of a firing squad or something else?
Firing squad or electric chip, they usually had the idea of having an injection, but they don't have the particular whatever, the chemical,
right.
They were in short supply in South Carolina, so now it's either firing squad or electric chair. Try to imagine having to make a decision like that.
Well, now, I wonder how many people have been shot at a firing squad who didn't die right away. You know, you got 10 guys shooting at you, but you might have 9 bad shots.
Well, those people shouldn't be in the military.
Well,
I don't know. All I know is the thought of having a choice. I really think capital punishment should be ended, because it tends to enough mistakes made, and it's a very racial thing, because more people who are minority end up on death row than whites.
Yeah.
And you know, I just think it's and actually the only countries that really do it regularly are China, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. Do you want to be in that category?
No, I don't. Well, I asked my grandfather, who is a doctor, a long time ago. I said, "Grandpa, how does it feel to have your head cut off with a guillotine?"
How would he know?
He, based on the way he thought that it would feel, because of the nerve endings that would be cut at the moment, he thought it was like having a piece of ice run across the back of your neck, and that's all you'd feel, because you wouldn't remember anything, of course, but like having a piece of ice run across the back of your neck.
That's assuming that all they have to do it once, but I've heard of cases where people have it multiple times, and possibly a person's not good at doing it.
Do You mean there are guillotine people that have lived through it?
Supposedly they had to have it chopped more than once.
Now, I understand if you're having your head chopped off, that's one story. But a guillotine, you know, a machine that actually slices your neck, I can't imagine they'd miss.
I'm not an expert on those kind of things. I don't like to think about
it. Well, you're an expert in assassinations. I thought you'd know all that.
Well, you know, I've always been fascinated by that since college, but that's a little too gruesome for me.
Well, I'm surprised that we haven't brought the guillotine back. I mean, of all the things, the ways that you can be offed, it seems to me that would be the most humane way, except I know that people think it's horrible to have your head lopped off. Now, I often wonder, does your brain live long enough to see your head falling away from your body?
I have no idea.
Kind of gross, isn't it? Oh, well. Enough of that. We'll all have nightmares tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Too much hatred and death out there. It's really terrifying.
What do you think Cheney's removal will mean to the Democratic Party? Do you think it'll mean anything to the Democratic Party?
I think they will want to do as much as they can to get things done, because there is still the danger, yeah, as crazy as it is, that Kevin McCarthy could become Speaker of the House in 2023, and I'm praying that he does not. And so I think they have to do whatever they can to have reconciliation and get as much done as they can.
Well, Scott and I kind of tried to decide while we were doing our show what was going to happen. And I don't think we did a very good job of figuring it out. So,
why didn't you hear that? That must have been earlier on. I was listening about 11:15 onward. Yeah.
Well, I think we are going to have we're going to have some struggles within the Republican Party, I think, for the next 4 or 5 months, which may or may not affect whether they have enough people that get elected so that McCarthy takes over. My guess is, and I know I'm going against what people say, I'm thinking that this may help the Democratic side of things. So
I would think it should, but should and what reality is and how people vote, you never can tell.
Well,
that's the thing.
Absolutely.
Look at history, except for 1934 and 2002, and 2002 only a little bit because of 9/11, the party in the White House gained seats. But other than that, they do not gain seats. They usually lose seats.
And
there's no room to lose in the Senate. And then again, there's 2/3 of the seats open on Republicans, so I still think there'll be a Democratic gain. But the House is only like a 6-vote edge, and that's scary that could go over and make Kevin McCarthy the Speaker. I think he makes Paul Ryan look good, and Paul Ryan makes John Boehner from Ohio look good, and that's how bad the party has gone downhill.
Well, I just can't imagine. Man, I really try to think, put myself in the side of my Republican friends and think, how in the world can they believe this? And if you can't believe your own party, why would you vote for them? I don't know.
Because a lot of people, apparently about 70%, I think, still love Trump in the Republican base. I don't understand.
It could be Marilyn Monroe, and I'm not going to vote for him if they're lying all the time and not telling me the truth. I don't know. Why would you vote for somebody just because you like them?
Besides, being like Trump, he's such a bully. What is there to like?
Nothing.
I don't get it.
All right. Well, anyway, I don't think we're going to figure out what's going to happen in the next 6 months.
Right, I would now like to think the Republican Party is going to implode. I really think it will with this split that's coming tomorrow. There'll be more news about it.
Yeah.
So we don't know as much today. But I do think that it's going to be a real civil war, in quotes, not literally but figuratively, in the Republican Party. And that should help the Democrats. But now there's a new threat. Inflation, we had 4.2% in April, so that's a worry. If that continues to happen, that is not good for the party in the White House, where we have inflation if it becomes a normal thing. So that is a worry. There's always something to worry about.
There's always something, yeah. And my wife and I have gotten to the point where we stop watching all the news shows that we've watched. We're down to 2 a day. We only allow ourselves 2 a day.
Which 2?
Rachel Maddow And, well, actually, we actually watch three, if the truth be known, because occasionally we watch Nicole in the White House thing.
Yes, I love Nicole.
But we also do watch Lawrence right after.
Lawrence O'Donnell, yes.
Yeah, right after.
I have a special tonight, or today, I think it's tonight, about the vaccination. He's going to be interviewing Joe Biden.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, I was going to mention Nicole. However, one thing I joke with my son, Elizabeth, I says, everybody, when she's you know, has them come and comment, she always says, I'm grateful. We're grateful. The word grateful, I say, is overused. I think you don't have to be grateful about every person who comes on your show. Well, but listen how often she says grateful.
I will, but another thing she always says, three of the best. No, she says, these are three of the best.
Yeah, and she also says, don't go anywhere when there's a station breaker. Things can't go to the bathroom?
Nope.
It's just the way she, a certain line she keeps on repeating, you know. Yeah. But she, I think she's wonderful. I really admire her, you know.
One of her sponsors is a, probably, what did they call that on Big Bang? I'm going nowhere, so I'm going to leave this alone. Never mind. All right. The price of gas after
and
this
inflation generally,
well, and especially because of this cyber attack thing.
Oh my God, we're just not prepared for these things.
And now, what are we? What do you see the country being able to do? It seems to me that we just haven't been aggressive enough in our. You'd think our cyber attack guys, the guys that know how to, girls that know how to do things to stop this, just haven't either been given enough money or enough pressure or enough.
Well, I think a lot of this because of Trump. He cut back on a lot of this.
Yeah, he did. He cut back on a lot.
Yeah, I also find it disturbing that this pipeline is owned by a private company that doesn't give us any information. I'm not so sure it should be private companies that hold sway over us to that extent. Maybe it should be government control. But oh my God, if you say that, I'm a socialist, right? But I actually think it makes sense, you know?
Well, I always thought that our utilities should be at least partially controlled by, and most of them are partially controlled by the government. There are certain rules about how much you can charge for a gallon of water, or, you know, a liter of gas. I don't know, but we have rules. We have to choose to institute strong legislation on it, I guess.
Well, I think we need more government, not less. More national government. I really do believe that. And state governments are horrendous with the passing of all these voter restriction laws. It's ridiculous. You know, I really think the national government needs to be bigger, but we've had this 40-year feeling that government is bad since Ronald Reagan came in, but I think the Reagan era is ending.
I hope. And I don't want to see us have Big Brother watching over our shoulder, and I don't think that's what it's intended to do.
No,
they're
and I don't want that
just regulations
either.
To help us keep things fair to everybody.
Yes.
That's what it seems to me. All right. The unemployment benefits being tightened. That's the big news now. They're trying to...
Only in Republican states don't notice.
Well, yeah, but even Biden came out and said we ought to be a little bit more selective on how we get...
Well, but they have to pay decent wages. People are not going to give up whatever benefits the government gives them for a limited period. Don't forget, it's not forever. And then go to a job that pays $7.50, $8 an hour. It's time to have a 15-hour minimum wage across the board. And, you know, it really is necessary. Nobody can live on the jobs they have. And so you can't expect someone on a short-term basis to give up having more to pay for his medical bills or for his food or his rent, you know, just for the principle that he shouldn't be on it. But I do think we need to really make, you know, labor conditions much better. And those hourly workers have to get paid higher. Now, it might mean we have to pay more for a restaurant meal. Well, so be it. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. We're paying more all along in the supermarket and everywhere else anyway. So if you have to pay a little bit more, that's... Everything is always more. And don't forget, we don't live by yesterday's standards. Everything costs more as time goes by.
Yeah.
And that's why you need better wages and you need more respect for hourly workers.
Wouldn't higher wages also add to that inflation, though?
I don't know. I'm not an economist, but it also means people can get more goods and services, and they have more money. And we have so many people even facing evictions now. You know, it's you know, we're actually making the country poorer because of the pandemic, because the people at the top, the billionaires, don't want to pay more taxes, and I'm sorry, they need to.
Yes.
The wealth tax is essential. They will not even hurt them. They'll lose a bit, but they'll make it up in interest over the next year and more.
When you and I were kids, those wealthy people were paying close to 90% income tax. Now, I know none of them paid it because they all had good tax lawyers and stuff like that. So they
paid more than they are now.
Yeah. Well, their rate was way higher than it is now. But back then, if I recall correctly, about the only deduction that we saved from those days was your house payments. We did keep that going. You're allowed to deduct your house payments, but there you could deduct your medical back then. You could, and you can still deduct some of your medical, but it's not very high, and you got to spend a lot of money to make it worth it. But there were a lot of rules back then.
And Reagan came in, and everybody was saying, now we're conservatives and we don't believe in government. And that's what's been going on, and it's really been harming the general population, making the rich richer, the middle class poorer, and the poor really dead poor.
Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing, and we are no longer number one in anything in the world except...
No, we're way behind. And we're always having people critical of Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Canada, France, but they're actually more advanced in child care and in labor, and sick leave and things like that, and we still are so backward.
We are number one in the number of people incarcerated per capita. And we
also, which is a disgrace.
And we are also number one in the number of people that believe in angels. I just read that.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they also believe in devils? Like, I think Donald Trump is a devil.
I would guess they believe in devils, but most of the ones that I know that believe in devils don't believe. They believe Donald Trump was sent here by somebody above. I don't know.
I just don't get what they see in him. What has he done for any of these people?
Well, I think...
Unless you're very rich, maybe, but, you know, with the tax cut in 2017. But I don't get the average American finding him appealing. I just don't get it.
Do you have any idea of what you would like to see? What are the things that you think Biden has to get done before he loses control? Which
I think the voting to make sure everybody can vote. The voting bill is very important. The infrastructure bill, and I think improving health care for more. Those kind of things, but there's so many things on the plate, you can't get it all done. But I think as much as reconciliation can be done, or maybe if they can modify the filibuster to be a talking filibuster, then maybe more can be done. But he has a very big amount of ideas, and he's not going to be able to accomplish them all. And if he loses control of the House, even without the Senate, then it's going to be like what Obama faced after 2010. It's terrifying to think we'll go backward again.
It seems to me that he's got a lot of really bright people around him.
Yes,
much like
absolutely.
Obama did. But now...
And he also is very alert and very lucid, and there's no sign of any dementia like people keep on saying. It's not there.
People would stop
saying that.
Well, now, we were talking on our show also about the... I always have thought... since Truman, and he was the very first president, and I think your first president, wasn't he?
Well, technically, I was born in the last months of FDR,
but I don't
remember it.
Okay. But,
I was born at the time of the Battle of the Bulge,
in
December 16, 1944. So I've told my students that my mother won the Battle of the Bulge, and the Germans lost.
I've lost it already. But in those years, since Truman, I'll say.
Of course, because just technically a few months FDR was still there,
right.
Yes.
In those years, I told Scott that I truly believed Obama was the best orator that we've had. And he brought up, JFK, who was a very good orator. He brought up... Clinton, who was a very good orator, and he brought up Reagan, and
Those are the top four in some order. I think they are the top four.
And I would say I agree with him most of the way, but I put Obama ahead of all the others, and I put Reagan at the bottom of that. I really, and I've read a lot of his speeches because I used to put them on the air in my show. I always thought they were kind of stiff, his speeches, but...
Well, I would put the order as Obama first, Kennedy second, Clinton third, and Reagan fourth.
That's pretty much what I told Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So
I would put Kennedy ahead of Clinton, yeah.
Yeah, but Clinton was very good. I enjoyed listening to his speeches, but my wife and I continue to go back in YouTube and look at Obama's speeches just so that we can get our batteries recharged. I don't go back and listen to Clinton's speeches.
Well, also, Obama had compassion and empathy as Joe Biden does.
Yep.
That's what makes them special. I don't think Clinton really had that. And I don't think Reagan did. And Kennedy, not really even the same way. I think, you know, people might say, oh, you're soft. I think having a compassionate person with empathy in the White House is such a plus.
Why? When did we start thinking that being soft was bad?
I don't know, but that's why I think Joe Biden's great, because he's really who he says he is. He's really a decent human being. Not perfect. Nobody's ever perfect. And also, I think Kamala Harris, you see, when he's speaking, and he was speaking before the joint session, in her eyes, you could see how compassionate. I mean, even with the face cover, you know, with the mask, she comes across as like a female Joe Biden. She's got so much empathy and compassion, and yet a lot of people don't trust her.
You can tell she's really thinking through the speeches.
Yes, and she's very emotional.
Yeah.
And I think that's good.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Hillary Clinton didn't come across that way. I think she came across as more hard-nosed.
Yeah, I think
that
you're
way.
Right.
And that probably was a negative when I look back, you know?
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Now, we also talked about the problem that Obama had in his first year is that he wasn't aggressive enough, whereas Biden is being very aggressive.
Aggressive, but he's meeting with the Republicans today. This is a turning point. Maybe as we're speaking now, with the Republican leaders, including Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, who said nothing's going to get done if it's up to him. But he's also meeting with others and trying to come up with an infrastructure bill that won't be what he wants, but won't be what they want. And we'll see what happens. I think today and into tomorrow is going to be a real turning point on what Biden will decide to do about Republican opposition, and also how anti-Trump Republicans tomorrow apparently are going to put out an announcement and have, I guess, a press conference and have a long list of people who were Republicans who worked in past administrations, or people who were in the House or Senate who no longer are there, or the ones who have voted to convict and impeach him, you know, to be a anti-Trump, anti-Republican force. So I think it's a real turning point the next couple of days.
Well, one of the things I've always thought about having good relationships with other countries is to allow other countries, other people, when you're in an argument, allow them to save face. And that's one of the things I think Joe Biden is very good at. He allows them to save face without giving in. And, I mentioned, when did it become bad to be soft? I think soft people are not necessarily weak. I think soft people are people that can listen and absorb, whereas weak people are people just give up. Basically what our Republican Party is right now.
Yes, and I just don't see a real future, you know, long term. I just don't. The thought that they could win the presidency and House and Senate by 2024, I just can't see it happening. I just don't. If it is, we're in real trouble.
Yeah, I'm afraid. But, you know, life goes on no matter who wins and who doesn't win. And things usually adjust a little bit more towards the center, even if bad stuff happens. I mean, probably the worst political thing that's happened in my lifetime is when Trump won. But it didn't go quite as bad as my brain had told me it was going to go. And maybe
well, part of that's because the Democrats won the House in 2020.
Yeah, that's true.
They had not won it, and the Republicans showed it would have been a nightmare.
Yeah, you might be right.
It makes a difference.
It does. That's why we have a three House system. I mean, not three
House Senate and the White House, and the Supreme Court as well, and the federal courts.
Right.
And that's why people criticize Nancy Pelosi. She's not perfect either, but thank goodness for Nancy Pelosi, who I think has been an outstanding Speaker of the House twice now.
Yeah, you know one thing I give a little credit to? Supreme Court people that have been put on the court by Trump have actually, in many cases, ruled the way they thought the law should be.
Including Gorsuch, particularly the first appointment, yes.
Yeah.
They're not predictable 100% of the time. No, they're not.
Yeah, no.
And that's good, but this gun rights case is coming up. Is concerning because there really are six people in the court who believe in the Second Amendment and without any restrictions. So it's going to be a bad situation, I think.
Well,
have to see, of course. But
we're having a mass murder every day, so maybe that will change their minds.
It hasn't so far.
I know it has.
All the school shootings in Connecticut and down here in Florida and elsewhere. I just hope, but I don't understand that American people in polls want to have restrictions on guns. They want to have this. They want to have that. All kinds of issues, and yet nothing is being done. And it's of opposition. Yeah.
The National Rifle Association is really under the gun right now.
Yes, I'm so happy for what happens. Yes.
Yeah. They may lose everything.
Meanwhile, you know, I don't know whether you saw, there's now indications that Secret Service men were having relationships with two Trump family members, which is really a no-no. You're not supposed to do that.
What do you mean by relationships? Are you talking sexual relationships?
Well, they don't say that, but they're very close. Vanessa Trump, the former wife of Donald Trump Jr., you know, is divorced, is one, and supposedly Ivanka, supposedly, as well, you know. And I don't know. They don't say exactly, but there's a new book coming out that claims the path has been crossed. You're not supposed to have that.
Well, we might as well spread the rumor.
Well, it's in the book coming out, you know.
Okay. There's always a book coming out, and whether it's true or not, I don't know, but let's spread the rumor anyway.
Well, I don't remember who the author is. I just saw it, but it's not an unknown author. It's someone that you would think would be reliable, so... But what's new? Is there any surprise? I'm sure Trump himself cheated on his wife.
Oh, I have no
White House, not just years ago.
Yeah,
you know?
I have no doubts. Yeah.
But she's still there.
I am too, and I still go back in my brain to that time when they were walking together, and he grabbed her hand, and she slapped his away.
Yes.
Something must have gone on the night before that happened.
Yeah, and also there's a scene of her when he's looking at her smiling, and then when he turns away, she has a frown on her face.
Oh, yeah, and she did that more than once, I believe. My wife always pointed that out to me.
Yes.
She would say something, look at that look that she gave me.
Well, she's answered a long list of presidents who had affairs on their wives, including Harding, as you mentioned earlier today. And by the way, Mrs. Harding did not live long after he died. She died within 15 months of his death.
Yeah.
It was not much of a post-presidency Mrs. Harding. Only 15 months. She died in November 24. He died in August 23. And they were both sick at the time that he died. So they were not in good health already.
And I believe that she was put into the same crypt that he was until they got the memorial opened up so that they could bury them both there.
Yeah. Yes, and if I ever do get to marry, and I want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to Tampa.
You and I are going to have dinner, and then we're going to go to the memorial.
Because I've been to all the other Ohio presidents, McKinley, Hayes, Garfield, and all in the Cleveland area, and Tampa, Cincinnati, but I've never been to Marion.
You and I, that's a assured thing. If you get here, we're going to the memorial, and then I'm going to take you out to have a really good dinner. We go to this really fancy restaurant. It's called McDonald's.
Okay.
But no, I would love to take you over there.
Is it worth it?
It's just a big marble round thing. I'm sure you've seen pictures of it.
And yeah.
It looks exactly like that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Harding is the lowest rated Ohio president in history.
Yeah, I understand that.
And by the way, Lyndon Johnson is not rated low, as was stated. Actually, he's in the top 10 presidents.
Is that right?
At the bottom of the top 10, but he is in the top 10. He's made it to the top 10 of all-time presidents in polls.
He was kind of a tough guy, but I always thought he was a pretty good president.
Well, thank God for him and FDR.
Yeah.
That's what we have without the New Deal and the Great Society.
There you go. Well, we're down to our last 45 seconds, so got anything last that you want to say, and then we'll get out of here.
I don't know.
I caught you off guard, didn't I?
Well, just a little. Just that, of course, you know, I would point out that there's a new excuse for the January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol insurrection. Foxitis or Fox Mania? There's one person claiming because he watched Fox News is what made him do it, which is absolutely ridiculous. But this whole idea of Foxitis or Fox Mania is quite a interesting and humorous story.
Oh, my. Well, you have a wonderful weekend. We got to get out of here, all right?
See you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dr.
Bye.
Feynman. Bye-bye. All right. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you later.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.